WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road for the holidays. Maybe a little purple Santa, who knows, like the old days. But we'll be at Fadley's on the 9th, and we're going to be moving on to Costas a little later on in the month. I'm ironing that date down because we may have a shocking announcement about some Rock and Roll Hall of Famers coming back to Dundalk for crab cakes and the holidays. I actually had a bowl of half and half Costas soup at halftime. It didn't go so well, so I have to tell Nick and Pete maybe I should go with just the regular Maryland crab next time. But we'll have Maryland Lottery scratch-off tickets to give away at Fadley's, Raven scratch-offs, as well as our friends at Goodwill. Enjoyed helping them on Wednesday. Had a lot of volunteers, a lot of people in need. It was a great, great event on Wednesday down at the Convention Center, as well as our friends at Window Nation. Luke Jones joins us now in the aftermath of purple therapy. Is that what we would call purple therapy at this point? What we need to provide? I don't know what it is. I mean, it feels like it's been a little while since they lost, right? So for that, we haven't discussed them losing in a while. I had already put the cherry on the bow and had started, you know, writing my columnness about them as a victorious team. And then I had to sort of rewrite the script a little bit. Just a crazy game. I'm still trying to process what the hell happened in the last 10, 12 minutes of that football game.
So you're saying it's your fault. You jinxed them.
I have no idea. I will say this. It is the first Jaguars-Ravens game I've ever missed. I went back through all of them because we played in their division. And I mean, I remember Eric Zier tripping on John Ogden's leg, you know, and losing a game at the end because of that. So, I mean, weird stuff has happened down there, let alone Wembley. But this one, this is an all-timer, man. This is right up there with Jimmy Smith for me, Zay Jones.
Well, yeah, in some ways it kind of felt like those early days where the Ravens couldn't beat the Jaguars. I mean, you were mentioning the old AFC Central and, you know, one-time rivals where I can't see a Ravens-Jaguars game without at least thinking about Tony Banks and Shannon Sharpe once. I mean, that was the game that put this franchise on the map in terms of really arriving. But what we saw on Sunday, unfortunately for the Ravens, was very reminiscent for me of what we saw up in the Meadowlands back in week 6 against the New York Giants, in the sense that you had a Ravens offense that moved the ball up and down the field, well, between the 20s anyway, through the first half into the third quarter, and red zone woes, which have been the story of this team since week 4, really. I mean, you go back and look, they were, I think, 8 for 10 over the first 3 weeks of the season inside the red zone. Since then, nowhere close to 8 for 10, let's put it that way, without having the exact numbers in front of me. But a game where it felt at halftime like the Ravens should be winning at least by, let's say, 2 scores with the way that they moved the ball. The defense, I mean, the defense played well in the first half, one drive aside. And keep in mind, that was after the fourth down, you know, unsuccessful fourth down try. Jacksonville got the ball at midfield on their solo touchdown drive in that first half. Defense was phenomenal in the third quarter, 2 3-and-outs and a takeaway. But then what we saw in the fourth quarter, which wasn't talking about that Giants game, I put that way more on the offense and, you know, Lamar's pick and the strip sack to end it and whatnot. But we saw a defense that played so well through three quarters fall apart in the fourth quarter. Third and longs, fourth and longs, that Trevor Lawrence, so give him credit. You know, he
battled. He's pretty good, by the way. He's pretty good.
You see the flashes. I mean, certainly you look at the final numbers, 3 touchdowns over 300 yards, 29 of 37. I mean, that speaks for itself. You certainly can see times where he still shows his inexperience. And I would also say, you know, while he has some better receivers than the Baltimore Ravens have right now, still a team that clearly has a ways to go. But I was saying this, I was talking about this with you early last week. I talked about this with Dennis as we got closer and closer to Sunday. If you looked at this Jacksonville team at 3-7, and look, I'm not making an excuse for the Baltimore Ravens here. You know, they choked. This is another 2-score loss that they've blown, a lead that they've blown in the fourth quarter. It's a pattern at this point. It's happened in each of their 4 losses, and they're 7-4, as opposed to being, not saying 11-0, but 9-2, let's say, if you don't have that issue to the degree that they've had it. But, you know, it's certainly, you know, it's disappointing. But at the same time, this was a Jacksonville team that if you watch them on a weekly basis, they'd only had 1 loss by more than one score. It was a 10-point loss to Kansas City. They had a couple blowout wins under their belt. My point was,
they had second half leads in like seven out of their 10. I mean, like, you know, they're a team like the Ravens that if the game ended in the third quarter, they would have won a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, this is a team that if you're going to be sloppy and not convert inside the red zone, turn the ball over, you know, give up some big plays and some inopportune times, they're more than capable of beating you. And that's what the Ravens found out. And again, that's not to give the Ravens a pass here, but I picked a 20-19 Ravens win. I thought this was going to be a close game, but unfortunately, what we're seeing with this football team, as much as the last few weeks felt good because, hey, you know, they had won. Reeled off four wins in a row. You know, when you come out of the bye week, and you know, even though it was ugly against Carolina, it was still a fourth straight win. And you're talking about a team that's 7-3 and in good position in the AFC North, and they still are, by the way. Let's be clear about that. But you looked at how some of these games were going in terms of the offense. Yes, the defense played very well against Carolina and New Orleans, but I think a few people in town were a little too quick to start pumping up what this defense was, when you consider they were doing this against Andy Dalton and against Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, just got benched. So we saw it. Once again, this team having trouble putting together a full 60-minute performance. For the offense, it was three quarters of not being able to put the ball in the end zone once you get inside the 20. For the defense, it was a fourth quarter where they fell apart. And it adds up to what was a one-point loss, a very exciting football game, if we're looking at it through a more objective lens, but certainly a very frustrating day for the Baltimore Ravens because, again, another game that should have been in hand. When you talk about the fact that they score to go up 19-10 with 13 minutes to go, the way this defense had been playing, that should have been that, but it wasn't. And that's why this team was flying home on Sunday night, having lost, and kind of thinking back to some of those issues that were plaguing them earlier in the season, rearing their head on Sunday.
Well, I mean, Luke, we'll chalk it up to red zone issues, right? We'll say that and say, well, you know, they're kicking field goals, a couple touchdowns there, that they laugh and they win the game by 13 points and it's all good. And I agree with all that. But the mistakes, the drop passes, the overthrows, the Lamar runs left, Lamar runs right, Lamar runs when they don't have anything else. And there were times they didn't feel like they had anything else. Now, Oliver, we'll talk about him and his homecoming and his revenge game against Jacksonville, who drafted him and then gave him away, and him being targeted in the game. But for me, it's about mistakes. It's about drops. It's about overthrows. It's about the quarterback not being accurate. It's about receivers not dropping the ball when he is. It's about them not running the ball well and trying to run and staying on the run with it. And all that comes before the defense, right? Whether it's Duvernay dropping a ball or whoever's out there, there's always this flash of a play here or a play there or a week here. I mean, DeSean Jackson saved the day for them for a moment, right? Like, won the game for them with one crazy play, and he was sitting on a couch 3 weeks ago. They have that in them to walk the tightrope because they're good enough on any given play to complete a bomb after stinking all day, but they stink too much. This is a wildly inconsistent offensive effort all the way around, whether it's sometimes protecting Lamar, sometimes what they want to do. I mean, you want to beat up Greg Roman, have at it with him as well, but the whole thing's not good enough right now. It's certainly not elite. It's certainly not, we're going to win 3-4 playoff games in a row like this. And then we'll talk about the defense, but to me, the offense, it's been not good enough recently to overcome mistakes, deficiencies, or, you know, when the defense just stinks for a quarter the way they did on Sunday. And that, no lead was safe. They had a 3-touchdown lead they blew at one point with this defense, but I thought the defense had come a long way. And before I talk about that, I do want to talk about this offense isn't very good. Lamar wants $250 million, and I don't know where this is headed because it doesn't feel like a Super Bowl team to me.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's not fully calibrated, right? I mean, they move the ball very well for stretches, especially between the 20s. I mean, we saw that. I mean, it's not as though they went three and out and three and out and three and out. We didn't see that. We haven't seen that too often, although we saw more of that against Carolina last week, certainly. But it's off. And I want to throw something else in there. This team's continued issues getting out of the huddle and getting up to the line of scrimmage and calling plays. I mean, we saw that cost them once again in the first half. I mean, that's something that's been going on for years. You tolerated it when this was an offense that was firing on all cylinders, or at least most cylinders. You tolerated that a little more. And you know that a Greg Roman offense, historically, going back to his days in San Francisco, has not been a pace, fast-paced kind of offense. But it's magnified when you're not operating at as high of a level consistently, and you're having a delay of game, or you're in a position where you're rushing to the line of scrimmage, and you know whether Lamar can check into a play or check out of it, you're just very rushed in those situations. And it's something that has been asked about. It's been asked about over and over and over. There are certain elements of their offense that I do understand, because they do sub a lot and they do use pre-snap motion. At the same time, that can't happen. You're not seeing other teams around the league consistently, at least good offenses around the league, doing those types of things consistently. So it's very frustrating in that sense, because again, they are moving the ball, but you've got to score when you get inside the 20. You certainly have to score when you get inside the 10. I mean, you look at their first two scores of the game, a 27-yard field goal from Justin Tucker and a 29-yard field goal from Justin Tucker. Okay, that was great when it was Matt Stover and it was a 2000 Ravens, and you were playing in an era where it wasn't so catered to the offense in terms of the rules and everything. But that kind of football is not going to play, especially not going to play come January. I mean, it's just not. We saw it, and I mentioned it in my five predictions for Sunday, and talking about the fact that this defense, this was going to be a step up in terms of playing a better offense than they had played in recent weeks. Kind of going back to probably the Tampa Bay game. You know, this Jacksonville, it's not a great offense, but certainly better than Carolina. Certainly better than New Orleans, you know, when you look at it.
A capable quarterback. So, let's start with that. And
yeah, I mean, certainly a higher ceiling.
Knows what
right.
He's doing. Yeah, sure.
Right. A higher ceiling. And as you mentioned, Doug Peterson, I mean, a Super Bowl winning head coach. So, you know, as well as the defense played for three quarters, that's where it can rear its ugly head if you're not finishing drives inside the red zone. And as a result, it's a one score game, or in this case, it was a nine point game. You know, and again, I don't want to excuse the defense. That was well below the bar in the fourth quarter. That's why I kind of view this as a team loss. For me, it was much more frustration for the offense, especially in the first half, but even into the third quarter. And then more so on the defense in the fourth quarter, although certainly the Gus Edwards fumble did not help, as that gifted Jacksonville three. And thank goodness for Roquan Smith, would have been a touchdown probably on that third down tackle that he made. So it's frustrating from the standpoint of you see more than glimmers, right? I mean, it's large stretches. I mean, we've talked about it. They mentioned it during the CBS telecast on Sunday, how little that this team has actually played trailing in football games. You know, it has not been much. I mean, Sunday actually represented you know, some of the bigger stretches of time that they've actually trailed in a game. It's been so fleeting in that regard, but it's a 60-minute ball game. And this team, for whatever reason, and I think you can chalk it up to everyone and everything at some point in time, even on Sunday, they really struggle with that. And again, some of the issues they've had, yeah, you'll be fine against Carolina. You'll be fine against New Orleans. They'll probably be fine against the Denver Broncos, who are a mess. And Russell Wilson looks more and more like a guy who is closer to the end of his career than anyone thought, you know, with the way that offense has struggled. But if we're going to continue to look at this thing in terms of not just, I mean, you take it a week at a time as a team, but as you and I are, and fans are looking ahead and seeing how this team might stack up to the other heavyweights in the AFC, I'm seeing flaws that are going to do them in, and they're going to do them in sooner rather than later in the postseason. So that's where it's frustrating. And
well, did him in against Jacksonville on Sunday, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I want to be clear about that. And that's not even me just making an assumption. No, I mean, this team still has three AFC North road games ahead. I mean, Cleveland looked pretty good on Sunday. I mean, give them some credit for what they did. You know, we've talked about Pittsburgh. No, they're not a very good Steelers team for their standards. Are they getting a little bit better than they were maybe in week four or five? I mean, we'll see. Certainly not expecting that to be a layup by any means. Nothing's a layup for this football team right now. I mean, as much as we talk about how well they might play for periods of time, they're doing a lot of things to lose football games, and ultimately it did them in on Sunday. And you mentioned it, whether it's errant passes, drops, an inopportune penalty at the wrong time, not getting up to the line of scrimmage, giving up big plays on defense, which hadn't really been a thing that they'd been doing, but certainly was a big thing that did them in at the end on Sunday. It's just, something's missing, and I don't know what that is, and I'm not trying to be cryptic in saying that, but there's just something about this team. Even though they're 7-4, even though they're still leading the division, they're still in great shape. I still fully expect this to be a playoff team. I still expect them to win the division. But if we're looking at this in a big picture sense, why are they having such a difficult time playing 60-minute ball games when you consider that this was now the 11th game in a row? All 11 games, they've led by two possessions. It's no longer double digits because they only got to 9 as far as their lead on Sunday, but they've had a two possession lead in all 11 games this year, and they're 7-4. If you knew nothing about the Ravens whatsoever, and I only told you that, you would say something's amiss here, right? You would say that, unless it's just, I don't know, just some
bad luck,
miraculous bad, a bad team that miraculously has a way to lead in some football games. I think back to the 96 Ravens. That team blew a bunch of leads that year, actually, because they couldn't stop anyone in the end. But just if you knew nothing about the Ravens, and I told you that in their all 11 games this year, they've led by at least 9 points, knowing that's a two-score game, and I told you they were 7-4, you would say, they've got a couple fatal flaws that are probably going to do them in when the competition ramps up, when it really matters. Now, the playoffs don't start in late November or early December, so that's the good news, right? There is time to figure that out. But what I see on a weekly basis, I'm still looking at this team as kind of at that next tier, as not looking at them as the most serious elite contender group. I kind of put them at that next tier, and Sunday was another example of why I'm reluctant to put them to have them graduate even after they had a 4-game winning streak.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the social media as long as Twitter is still alive out there. I want to give a shout out to all of our sponsors and friends that have taken great care of us here during the holidays. Had a great, great Thanksgiving over the weekend. Got out, did some visiting. We have a new sponsor with Drug City in Dundalk joining us here beginning now. So we're doing some crab cake tour stops down there. We get out to Fadley's as well as to our friends at Costas later on this month. We were at Pappas 2 weeks ago. It's been a great little run of getting together and a great holiday, which really sort of let the air out of the tires of a 4-game winning streak and all this. Luke, let's talk about the offense. I mean, we'll talk about the defense when the time comes and this latest thing, whether Marcus Peters is half over the hill and why they're looking to strip every single ball instead of trying to make some plays. The pass rush, I mean, JPP looks like he's in quicksand all of a sudden. I don't know, right? We'll get to that. Offensively, let's talk about wide receivers. Let's talk about who catches the ball. Forget who's blocking because they're going to miss Ronnie Stanley, right? So I could chalk some of the issues up and say, all right, it's certainly not going to be perfect without Ronnie Stanley in there. They need that for me to win 4 games in January, February. I won't, including getting past Cincinnati, right? So I believe that on Ronnie Stanley. But let's say, okay, he'll be back in a week or two or five or whatever Harbaugh is going to lie about this week, right? So Mark Andrews, convinced that he's right, convinced that the shoulder's right, wide receivers. We know Bateman's not coming back, right? Like, can they do wide receiver by committee? And then the running back thing, I mean, Dobbins is going to be quick to try to rush back because he wants to get paid or whatever. They rush Edwards out there. He's fumbles. Like, I just weird, weird Duvernay doesn't drop balls and drop. Like, there was a series of things when John gets together after all this is over with and talks to everybody, he'll say, well, that's not a trend. That's a one-shot thing. But it is a trend that they want to run with Lamar when they get in trouble. And he's like a binky. And him running is still their best play on any given play if they really want to try to make a first down. They really want to try to get 10 yards on one play. Lamar breaking an ankle and falling forward for 8 and being in 2nd and 2, it's still their best play. They don't have a play anywhere near that good other than Andrews, which doesn't feel as available as it has.
Well, I think You know, what you just said, for me, I look at the rest of the running game on Sunday. I look at what the running game was until late against Carolina. Lamar, you know, when it's scrambling, even the design runs, typically that's working, right? I mean, you just alluded to that, breaking not his ankle, breaking other people's ankles as they're trying to tackle him in vain, as we've seen that for the better part of 5 years now, 5 seasons now. But I look at Gus Edwards, 16 carries, 52 yards, 3.3 yards per carry. Justice Hill, 1 carry, 3 yards. Kenyon Drake, 2 carries, 2 yards. I mean, you add that up, I think what you're seeing, we saw Carolina do it. And I, without seeing the all 22, as you and I are reacting to the game, and as you know, maybe we'll get a little more clarity, a little further removed as you take a look. But I think you're seeing more and more defenses are not respecting this passing game, and I don't mean in the sense of how the Ravens have always been run first, but we've talked about this. You and I have had this argument, however many different times, in good nature, but talking about the passing game and what level of efficiency they need to have. This is not an efficient passing game. I mean, Lamar finished with 254 yards, got the big play to Oliver, the enormous play to DeSean Jackson. I mean, that counted for over 100 yards right there, 16 to 32. Now, some of those were drops, as you alluded to. Some of those were some errant throws. I mean, a couple touchdowns he could have had with a more accurate ball. But I think what you're seeing more and more is teams are playing more aggressively in the box, more aggressively trying to stop this run than they have in quite some time.
Eight
Maybe even
guys up front. Come beat
maybe
us, right?
and look, they always do that to a point. I want to be very clear about that, but are we seeing that even more? Are we seeing that to a degree that we haven't seen it since maybe Lamar's rookie year? Doesn't mean I think Lamar's playing like the rookie version of himself. I'm not suggesting that at all, but when you don't have threats to push the ball down the field, and again, it's great that DeSean Jackson made a 62-yard catch. Can he stay on the field? Can he stay healthy? Can he continue to do that as he turns 36 years old this coming week? I mean, that's just the reality. There's a reason why, you know, he was available when he was, and that the Ravens signed him to the practice squad. We, as you mentioned, no Rashad Bateman. He's not coming back this year. So, do they have enough to put pressure on pass defenses on the outside and deep? And when they get that opportunity, even though Lamar threw a beautiful pass to DeSean Jackson, we've also seen some examples where they've disconnected when they've gotten that chance to make a big play. I think we're seeing a de defenses be more aggressive about the run. And I think even though we talked about it early this season, that Lamar was shredding the blitz early on, and we saw that big time against Miami in week two. We saw that against New England in week three. That has kind of, you know, that being solved has kind of gone away. And I think if you look at Lamar's numbers against the blitz since those first few weeks of the season, it's kind of reverted to where we saw it last year, where that wasn't something that they were able to handle very well. So I think what you're seeing is a team that is kind of depending on the run as much as ever, in terms of what they would like to be able to do. But then if you get in a position where defenses are able to bottle it up some, and it's not as though they didn't run the ball at all. It just wasn't, you know, they wasn't this 200 plus yards with the backs and just being able to just grind it out and then finishing inside the red zone. I think you're seeing teams just frankly aren't respecting this passing game. And I think it's they're respecting it less than they had even the last couple of years. They miss Marquise Brown. They do. And that doesn't mean I didn't like the trade. I said all along the trade value was good, but they never replaced him. And when they were counting on Rashad Bateman, I guess replacing him, but being a better version of himself because he was already part of this passing game last year, he gets hurt, then, well, you're kind of left with where they are right now, which is, you know, you mentioned Mark Andrews. A drop aside, I think he's going to be fine. You know, he's off the injury report. He's played a lot. I don't think he's ailing to a degree that there's reason for concern, even if
but
he's
he's
still
not
not
thriving
100%.
right now, so
Well,
that therefore I'm concerned. That's all.
I mean, he is fine, but I mean, 4 catches for 50 yards. I mean, he was a big part of what they did last week too. Now, DeMarcus Robinson was a bigger part, but the overall point that I think you're trying to make is it can't just be Mark Andrews. It can't just be one guy. You know, it has to be two or three, at least. I think it really needs to be three. If we were talking about this team really having its best chance to not just make the playoffs, which I think they're going to do, but to go far and to make a deep run, I think it needs to be three. And I don't know, what do they have right now? 1.5? You know, they have Andrews. You know, even the last couple of weeks aside, I'm not concerned there. But okay, it was DeMarcus Robinson last week. He had one catch on Sunday. DeSean Jackson makes a big play, but is he going to make a 60-plus yard catch every week? Is he going to stay on the field and stay healthy? I have no idea. Devin Duvernay, it was nice to see him more involved this week, but that's been so hit or miss in terms of even getting him involved, let alone him catching the ball like he did earlier in the season. So, you know,
feels
I
like a Miles Boykin thing to me, right? Like, it's there, but it's not.
He's
better.
Way
he's better than that.
Better,
I agree with
better,
that.
Yeah. But although I will say, as a side note, he had a rough day returning the ball, which is something, you know, I thought some questionable decisions. I mean, you know, not even just the kick return that certainly led to disaster for the Ravens, but it's just, I don't see enough playmakers on this offense right now. I just don't. And as much as we can point to this or that or drops or overthrows or bad play calls or bad tempo, it's not firing the way that it needs to. And as much as I do want to stress, at the end of the day, they did have 27 points. That should be enough to win in the NFL. And that's why we'll get to the defense when we continue our conversation. But I look at this and say, boy, they had 27 points and they could have scored into the 30s. They could have been sniffing 40 points if you can just figure out a way to finish inside the red zone. But
the defense gives them the ball and gives them a chance, right? The defense says, here's three, turn it into seven. You turn it into three, it feels like a loss. Kicking field goals after they strip the ball and fall on it, you know?
Right, right. Well, and look at Sunday's game. I mean, Gus Edwards finally punches it in, and you know that they got the ball at the 25-yard line after the strip sack and recovery. So, you know, last week, you know, the one touchdown they scored against Carolina came on a short field. So it's just, you see it there and it's great. Okay, there's a time where the red zone offense works. It clicks, right? But then when they get the ball at a normal spot on the field, they move all the way down the field, and then it just, they can't finish. They can't finish. And again, I wish I knew that it was a very simplistic answer, but it's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that constantly. And
well, that was supposed to be the Lamar magic, right? Spread him out way out and let Lamar run around. And that, you know, it takes 6 yards to tackle him, and you know, one-on-one, he'll get you yards. That was always the word on red zone offense. They'll never fail it. I remember saying to you, they'll never fail in the red zone. Nobody can catch the kid.
Well, but this shows why, as much as people want to diminish the running or the passing game in this town, because, hey, it's running the football and it's Lamar and it's a historic running game in 2019 and another 3,000-yard season in 2020, you have to be able to throw the football with a higher level of efficiency than this team does. And you look at their numbers, they are being held afloat by what they did over the first 3 weeks of the season. Go look at their splits from week four on. This has been a bottom 10 passing game. Lamar as a passer, I want to stress that, not as a runner, because that is part of who he is as a quarterback. Let's be clear about that. I don't want to separate that. I'm not saying Lamar is a bottom 10 quarterback or a below average quarterback, but since the first 3 weeks of the season, statistically, it's been pretty ugly if you look at what he's done throwing the football in terms of yards per attempt, in terms of, I think he has 7 touchdown passes going back to week four.
And he's had Ronnie Stanley for half of that.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the one thing I do want to say that I think was a big problem when their passing game got into trouble last year and the year before was the pass protection breaking down so often. Any metric that I look at, and I'm going to be the first to say, I'm not an offensive line savant in terms of like breaking down film and telling you what's a great offensive line and what's not. But I know Pro Football Focus and ESPN with their pass blocking win rate and their different metrics that they have, they have graded and tracked this offensive line as being one of the very best in the NFL this year. So I'm guessing two sources saying that means that there's something to it, right? So, and again, I'm not putting it all on Lamar. I'll continue to say they didn't do enough at wide receiver. I've said that since before the season started. You know, I look at that, but you know, Lamar's missed on passes. There've been other times where the receivers can't separate. You know, there've been some games where that was more of an issue than others. So it's just, it's not clicking the way that it needs to if you're talking about this team wanting to make a run when they start playing elite competition every week. You know, it's just, that's where I look at this thing. And it's why, you know, it's funny. I was even talking with some of my family over this past week, and they heard our post-game conversation about Carolina, and you know, they were kind of saying, wow, you and Nestor sounded not all that terribly positive about them. I said, well, I mean, Baker Mayfield's been awful, and you know, they won 13-3, and they couldn't move the football against a team that's just not very good.
They needed the defense to make a play to win that game.
Right. So that's where we look at this. And again, week in and week out, for the most part, their passing game's been stuck in the mud since the second half of the Buffalo game. You know, that was 2 months ago at this point. So what's going to fix it?
Well,
it was great to see DeSean Jackson make a long catch. I'm very skeptical that even if he can stay on the field, that he can give them a big enough shot in the arm there. You know, we've seen Devin Duvernay, who started out really well, and for whatever reason, they either don't get him the ball, or, you know, in some cases, maybe he doesn't make a play. Certainly doesn't profile to be a default number one wide receiver. I think we can all agree on that, right? Same thing with DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson had a fantastic game against Carolina, but that guy's been in the league 6-7 years now. We're not talking about someone who I think suddenly has this transformation, you know? So you've got a bunch of number three and number four type wide receivers that are needing to be your starting wide receivers and your top wide receivers. And
shades of Willie Snead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is. And, you know, Mark Andrews is back now and healthy, and that's great. And again, I'm not going to be all that concerned with, you know, the fact that he dropped the ball and, you know, but again, it can't just be him, you know? So I just look at this thing and I see, if I'm an opposing defensive coordinator, believe me, and this doesn't mean you're shutting down the Ravens. I mean, again, they still scored 27 points. Let's be clear about that. Even if they were set up on a short
in 2 yards from 30,
but right, exactly. But at the same time, if I'm an opposing defensive coordinator, I'm looking at this. I am doing everything I can to shut down the running game because I am not afraid of Lamar Jackson beating me with his arm. And I am certainly not afraid of these wide receivers beating me down the field. So I think that's what we're seeing more and more. And I think that's what is kind of showing up. And, you know,
Lamar running the ball is still the way to cut your heart out.
It is.
That's still their best chance of really beating your ass. Right, it's not the ball going up top or these 9-play, 81-yard drives where it's a zing and a zang and they're throwing the ball 7 out of 9 play. That's not how they're going to do it. And I don't know that they can slobber knocker 14-play running drives when Gus Edwards isn't getting yardage and if Lamar's not getting 8 yards on first down.
Well, and this is what, you know, this brings us back to the red zone. And I made the point at halftime of Sunday's game. I tweeted it out that at that point in time, the Ravens were 1-for-6 inside the red zone over their first 6 quarters coming out of the bye week. That right there is a formula for keeping even lesser teams firmly in the ballgame. I mean, that's just the truth. You know, and this isn't anything that's new to the Lamar era. We talked about, I can famously remember having conversations with you talking about in the Joe Flacco era at times when the Ravens would be going up against New England in their heyday or Indianapolis or Denver in Manning's first couple years with the Broncos, where you would just say, if you're kicking field goals inside the red zone, you're going to get beat against those teams. And you know, while I certainly don't put Jacksonville in that category as far as their offense, but it was a better offense than the Ravens have played here of late. And boy, they were able to finally get going in the fourth quarter. And well, all those missed red zone opportunities ended up costing the Ravens in the end, even if, again, that doesn't mean I'm putting the defense, you know, letting them off the hook, because certainly we'll talk about what happened in the fourth quarter for that group.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know whether it's burying the lead to not talk about the defense first or talk about the offense. I'm more concerned about the offense than the defense over the longer stretch of what they're going to need to do in January. Agreed. So for me, that's where we are. Luke is here. I am here. He'll be in Owings Mills all week if they let him. Denver is coming to town this week. They do not have John Elway or Peyton Manning or even Brian Greasy this time around. We'll be monitoring all that. Happy leftovers to everyone out there celebrating Thanksgiving. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill, as well as Window Nation. We'll be doing the 9th at Fadley's. That is next Friday. And putting a date together for Costas before Christmas as well.
And just, you know, crazy times when the Ravens lose a game like this. We'll be talking about it all week long. Got a bunch of political stuff in here. Got some great sports stuff in here. If you have not heard our chat with Mike Bordick and Adam Kolarik and his dad, Frank Kolarik, from out of Pappish, definitely want to check that out as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, doing the purple therapy that we call BaltimorePositive.com.